Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I take your questions that you've emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We go into a lot of things. Is China about to collapse? A super interesting story we dive into. Why is Biden and his regime withholding monoclonal antibodies from Ron DeSantis in Florida? And are we headed for secession? Is secession coming? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Email us your thoughts that I answer your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you could do so at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. If you want to support this program and get behind the work we are doing, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Kelly from Alabama, thank you for your generous support. Steve from Fort Wayne, Indiana, charliekirk.com/support. It's Monday. I'm taking your questions. Monoclonal antibodies, China about to collapse into a million pieces, and secession. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. We have a question here from Sally. Asking the question, hey, Charlie, I'm really worried about China. Are there any vulnerabilities to China and what can be done about it? You know, it's really interesting that that question was asked. Thank you. And if I select your question, you win a signed copy of our book. So thank you so much for that. We've been keeping our eye on the Chinese Communist Party for quite some time. And the Chinese Communist Party economic model is this Machiavellian fusion between state-run socialism and markets. And they employ which one they want at what time. And it can be very helpful when trying to hit artificial growth metrics, trying to grow an international empire. So let's go through kind of China's advantages. China has one advantage more than anything else. They have people. China has people. An abundance of human beings for them has meant that they have been able to become the de facto cheap labor supply for Western demand of cheap products. And that demand was kind of created by a very selfish ruling class in America that convinced our own citizens that you need another toy, another gizmo, another piece of clothing you're not going to wear, instead of respecting and appreciating American business and industry and saying, hey, why don't you pay $17 for the t-shirt instead of $10 for the t-shirt, and it's actually going to last longer. You know, your fellow countrymen built it or made it. Well, China was able to persuade the American finance class to redomicile our critical manufacturing, not just critical manufacturing, like vitamin C and PPE supplies, which we saw massive vulnerabilities in the last year, but even more basic stuff that it's not necessarily as critical, like hats and gloves and even iPhones or computers. But China, so they have people, but China does not have respect for private property. So China's not built on a Western moral ethic. The Western moral ethic does not appreciate lying, corruption. Now, we still have plenty of lying and corruption around us, but China feels more of a license to be able to cut corners and engage in secular Machiavellianism of the ends justifying the means. Now, that can work if you're trying to run a dictatorship and you are willing to kill your dissidents, willing to crush opposition like they are in Hong Kong, but it actually can create major vulnerabilities, and now we're going into the negatives of China, when it comes to fostering economic prosperity. Now, China's economic prosperity, quote unquote, has not been because of massive innovation. The Chinese Communist Party, these are not inventors. These are not people that have contributed significantly to the world economy by medical breakthroughs or technological breakthroughs. The Chinese Communist Party, they are thieves. They are robber barons. They are Bonnie and Clyde folks that steal from Western technology, copy it, and make it with their massive labor supply cheaper. Both, it's actually not just cheaper in cost, but it's also just not as good of a product. So China has known this for quite some time. And my friend Kyle Bass has been predicting for the last 18 months that the Chinese American bank, the Chinese banking system is far more fragile than people realize. That China's actually sitting on a house of cards. They grew too fast without a stable middle class. And so let's go back into the classics. Aristotle said that without a property-owning middle class, you cannot have a sustainable country. And that has been proven to be true at every single experiment in government in human history. America was its strongest when we had the most amount of people owning stuff and having a belief that tomorrow will bring them a better day if they wake up early and work hard and engage in delayed gratification. That's when America was at its best. And one of the reasons why America is losing its competitive edge, but I believe we can get it back, and I actually think that some of the doomsday predictions of us losing our competitive edge are a little bit overblown. I'll tell you why in a different segment if people want to ask about that. Is we have the normal man, the everyday man, with less of a buy-in materially to the American economy than ever before. So China's facing a reckoning right now economically, and no one wants to tell you about it. Now let's just remind you, China unleashed a bioweapon from Wuhan, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that infected the entire world. They should have to pay for this. And China, in addition to the bioweapon, has been hacking the American economy through cyber warfare for years. They send Chinese spies to our university campuses. They dump products. They're building islands in the South China Sea. The Belt and Road Initiative. I could go through why China is an enemy of the United States, not an adversary, not a rival, not a partner, as Millie would say. This is a really important story that you're going to hear almost nowhere else. There's a couple other podcasts that cover this, but that's it. Bannon War Room being one of them, but that's about it. That China's up against an economic collapse right now. Epoch Times writes, China's second largest real estate developer is facing an existential reckoning of epic proportions, drowning in $300 billion worth of debt, and more than 1.5 million people have, quote, put deposits on new homes that have yet to be built. A collapse would surely send ripple effects across China and quite possibly beyond. The same sort of bad behavior that built the Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008, the same sort of bad behavior that crushed the real estate market, China is now shamelessly engaging in for short-term gratification. And this kind of goes to this, and we did a whole program on this, on Fabianism. Slow and steady wins the race. Is China moving too fast? Is China getting ahead of its skis? Is China implementing a world takeover without actually having the infrastructure, the foundation to do it? Without a strong middle class, China's going to have massive problems. You can have 300 million people that are willing to put widgets together, but if they don't own anything and they're pseudo-slaves, you do not have a civilization. You have an open-air prison. There's some tape here that I think is really fascinating. Is China is sitting on this house of cards, and they might collapse sooner than people realize because they've decided to do this Machiavellian fusion of markets and socialism, which eventually, if you declare war on the laws of nature and nature's God, those laws of nature are going to come back with a vengeance. Let's play cut 108.
Evergrande is a real estate developer in China that really kicked off following the housing boom in the 1990s. And this was done with its debt-driven business model, which is constantly borrowing money from banks to make real estate projects. But it's gotten to a point it is now in too much debt. And if the company goes bankrupt, no one actually knows who in China can bear the weight of the $300 billion of debt and liabilities. So that's the big question. Once in a while, a company grows so big and messy that governments fear what would happen to the broader economy if it were to fail.
Is it too big to fail? Is China involved in behavioral practices that actually might default their entire economy? We must understand they're relatively new. This entire idea of allowing people to own property and owning homes while also having a surveillance state. This is an unprecedented territory here, and they are basically, the Chinese model is very simple. They are saying that the laws that govern human nature and human behavior do not matter. We are going to put them into suspense, and we are going to do what we want. At the Chinese Communist Party, we are God. We don't believe in a transcendent order, and we will borrow money, bail out industries, spy on our citizens, build islands in the South China Sea. China might be flying a little too close to the sun. And those wings might be starting to melt. 20 years ago, our world changed. Regardless of your views, the fact remains that we lost thousands of lives that horrific morning on September 11th and over the past 20 years since. Brave men and women in our first responder communities answered the call and rushed into the unknown as we watched in horror as the morning unfolded before our eyes. 343 firefighters were lost that day, and almost all of our first responders who answered that call have perished since. Minutemen Coffee, being unapologetically patriotic and constitutionally based, honors all of our men and women who serve and have served this amazing country. Minutemen Coffee is proud to partner with the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation to bring to America the 9/11 tribute roast and honor all of our first responders and military who have perished since 9/11. Give back and purchase the 9/11 tribute coffee, and all the net proceeds raised will benefit those heroes whom this amazing foundation serves. Go to MinutemenCoffee/911.com. That's MinutemenCoffee/911.com. Epoch Times writes, is it Evergrande? Is that right? Is that how you pronounce it? That sounds like very Cuban. Evergrande? There's no way it's that way. It's a Chinese company, isn't it? It's strange. Yeah, Evergrande. Okay. I was going to say it's a company in China, which stands for everlasting or never ceasing existence, according to their website. And so they have 1,300 projects in more than 280 Chinese cities, and millions of proprietors and potential proprietors rely on this company. Epoch Times writes, if it fails, they fail, and if they fail, the Chinese economy fails. It really is a legitimate question. Is China on the verge of a financial collapse? And you might say, oh, well, their government might just bail them out. Yeah, $300 billion is a lot to bail out. 200,000 employees work for them. 200,000. And Hu Xing, the editor-in-chief of the Global Times, a mouthpiece of the Chinese Communist Party, recently encouraged them to, quote, use market means to save themselves. Don't bet on a government bailout. You're not, contrary to popular belief, too big to fail. Well, people are taking to the streets in China, which is something that you don't always get video of, considering how tyrannical their country is. In Cote 109, 15 high-rises in China were demolished at the same time. Prior to that blast, the buildings had been sitting unfinished for 8 years. They've been building ghost cities, lying about it, and then demolishing them. Cut 109.
Within 45 seconds, over $150 million worth of property collapsed into dust. The now leveled high-rises had been sitting unfinished for 8 years. Construction was halted several times due to a lack of capital and several ownership changes. The current developer believes the property could no longer meet market demand. Plus, there were safety issues because of rainwater damage to the building foundations.
We're seeing, is that like 15 high-rises being demolished at once? That can't be good for the environment, can it? Just wiping them all out at once is extraordinary. The article continues by saying, will China's sneeze or its little hiccup here have global consequences? China and the Chinese Communist Party has been relying on companies like Evergrande to be able to sustain their artificial growth and business model for years, and the entire country's model to continue to grow. Well, people are starting to fight back. Disgruntled investors of China's second largest property developer are protesting and demanding their money back. It's cut 110. You don't see this a lot in China, and I don't know if they have the money to give back to them. This might be a complete fraud operation where they took people's deposits and they put it in different places. Now, again, this doesn't surprise you. And as soon as this might fall, I'm telling you, there's probably hundreds of companies like this across China that do these sort of things. You see, China was willing to use open markets to be able to build a competitive labor advantage temporarily. But the one thing about markets that they're going to realize, and China's going to get a dose of reality with this, now they might use the threat of government because it still is a communist totalitarian country, is that markets have failures. People don't always succeed in markets. There's pain and suffering in markets. People don't like pain and suffering in communist countries. Cut 110.
Chaotic scenes at the headquarters of China's Evergrande Group. Roughly 100 investors crowded the lobby on Monday, chanting, "Give us our money back." Evergrande, once China's biggest property developer, is also the world's most debt-saddled property developer, according to the New York Times. Now many investors and buyers are airing their frustration. The company has liabilities of more than $300 billion. This debt is partly a result of Evergrande's highly risky business model.
I guess it is Evergrande. I didn't know. There you go. They use Central American pronunciation in mainland China. That's news to me. China, everybody, is our greatest enemy. They are a threat, make no mistake, but they could fall apart. Now, if we actually had an American government that was interested in collapsing China, which we should do, and then rebuild it from its ashes with the good Chinese people, not the evil ones, it'd be very easy. China's built on a house of cards. And look, before we go any further to the AMA, you guys know that I want all of you to learn from great books. Thinker.org/Charlie is a place where you can consume big ideas in a short period of time. Key insights from Dangerous Ideas, A Brief History of the Censorship in the West, from the Ancients to Fake News, is our Thinker.org book of the week. Here's what you'll learn. You'll learn that censorship is a temptation as old as speech itself, and it has proven the preferred option over tolerance and open discussions throughout our history. Journalist and human rights lawyer Eric Berkowitz, he walks you through the tension between speech and suppression in Western history, highlighting events that have shaped the movement towards free speech and the temptations to curtail it. So you guys can listen to big ideas quickly and not be in violation of thought crimes and be stuffed down memory holes at thinker.org/Charlie. 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 Check it out right now. You guys are able to consume big ideas quickly. Thinker.org/Charlie. Check it out. What if I told you that there was a treatment that could help people with the Fauci virus that is being withheld? And I'm not talking about ivermectin. I'm not talking about hydroxychloroquine. I'm talking about monoclonal antibodies, otherwise known as Regeneron. Now, we've known about this for months, and we know that it can make a very significant difference in people fighting the Fauci virus. But why is it that certain states are being withheld treatment from this? Well, Ron DeSantis, the terrific and courageous governor from Florida, he's trying to buy more antibody treatments directly from the manufacturer because Joe Biden does not want to distribute it to Florida. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced Monday that it has, quote, transitioned from a direct ordering process to a state or territory coordinated distribution system and will change and will provide it on health departments maximum flexibility to get these critical drugs where they're needed most. Ron DeSantis is going back and saying that to kind of just pull the rug out from anyone a week after the president himself said that they were going to be increasing the distributions by 50%, it's very, very problematic. What I'm doing, though, is we're trying to cover the bases. Carl from Maine asks about monoclonal antibodies, and so we're going to kind of tie this all together. Let's first go to 102, a guest on Laura Ingraham's show. We just had an interview with her on our podcast. It says half the people getting antibody infusions in Florida are vaccinated. Cut 102.
And one of the things that DeSantis has pointed out, because they have had such a big wave in Florida, about half the people who are coming in and getting the antibody treatments are fully vaccinated. So this is not a situation where, you know, it's the bad unvaccinated people in Florida that are getting it. They've got an awful lot of people who directly need this treatment now who are both vaccinated and unvaccinated.
Both vaccinated and unvaccinated. Ron DeSantis is holding the line, though, and he's asking Joe Biden, why are you withholding monoclonal antibodies, which is a phenomenal scientific breakthrough? It's a non-vaccination, non-inoculation treatment that works very, very well. This almost looks punitive. This almost looks like, oh, I don't like Ron DeSantis. I'm going to politically withhold Regeneron from you. Now, this is different than Remdesivir, where Remdesivir can cause a lot of damage to people, and it's very, very expensive. But Regeneron is not expensive and works really well. Ron DeSantis comes out and he says it's wrong to penalize Florida, sending us less monoclonal antibody treatments. Ron DeSantis wants to set up these treatment centers all across Florida. This would save lives. Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas are getting crushed by this monoclonal antibody decision. Why is Joe Biden doing this? Well, he says, go get vaccinated. Well, half of the people that actually are getting the treatment are vaccinated, Joe Biden. Half. Does Joe Biden want to oversee the death of Americans for political gain? Sure, looking that way. Play cut 112 of Ron DeSantis saying you are literally penalizing Floridians for political gain. Cut 112.
We are very, very concerned with the Biden administration and the HHS's recent abrupt, sudden announcement that they are going to dramatically cut the number of monoclonal antibodies that are going to be sent to the state of Florida. Just last week, on September 9th, President Joe Biden said that his administration would be increasing shipments of monoclonal antibodies in September by 50%. And yet, on September 13th, HHS announced that it was seizing control of the monoclonal antibody supply and that it would control distribution.
Now, remember, this is the administration that abandoned American citizens in Kabul. Is the Biden regime abandoning U.S. citizens again? This is the same regime that panders to 1.8 million people crossing into the southern border, where Ron DeSantis, regardless of the politics Biden, he doesn't want to give him what he's asking for. So what is Ron DeSantis doing? He's thinking creatively. He's thinking like a statesman. He's thinking prudentially. He's going straight to the manufacturer. Ron DeSantis, in one of the largest states in the country, it's either the third or fourth largest state, I can never remember. I always get it wrong, either third or fourth, says, you know what? I'm going straight to the manufacturer. This is ridiculous. So DeSantis had a call with GlaxoSmithKline executives, and he thinks that Florida will be able to order their new monoclonal antibody directly from the company so he doesn't have to deal with Biden's restriction on the life-saving treatment. How is this not the number one story in America? Pharmaceutical companies have way more power than I think most people ever realized. They don't want you to talk about hydroxychloroquine. They don't want you to talk about ivermectin. They don't want you to talk about overdrinking. They don't want you to talk about obesity. They don't want you to talk about natural immunity. And now you put all of that aside. All they want to talk about is the vaccine. But the vaccine, according to that guest right there and Ron DeSantis, half the people demanding this are vaccinated. Half. Which, if I just do some basic math, that goes to show that vaccinated people in Florida, amongst senior, there's probably more vaccinated senior citizens than unvaccinated senior citizens in Florida, right? It shows that they're looking for help. That means that the percentage is probably tilted in that direction. I don't want to speak out of turn with that. I'm just trying to do some math on the top of my head. Why is Biden and his regime doing this. He's not putting clinics in Republican areas. And yet Ron DeSantis is advocating for all his constituents. Government makes it so easy to get vaccines. Why does the government make it so hard for its citizens to access early treatments like Regeneron, like ivermectin, like hydroxychloroquine, like azithromycin, zinc, vitamin D, early intervention? The CDC has changed the definition of a vaccine. It's no longer something that will prevent you from getting infected. It will now help you fight the infection if you get it. Pfizer has just come out and says that the COVID vaccine efficacy weakens over time. That's a completely different promise that I was made than when I got the polio vaccine. When I got the polio vaccine, it says, you know what? When you get the polio vaccine, you're going to be good for life. It's proven to be true. I have not gotten polio in my life. The pharmaceutical giant, which partnered with BioNTech to develop its vaccine, cited a study from the healthcare company Kaiser Permanente that suggests that protection against COVID-19 infection dropped 88% in the first month after receiving the second dose. The company is attempting to make an argument ahead of the crucial FDA meeting scheduled for September 17th, where a panel is slated to debate and vote on whether to recommend a booster shot or a third dose of the vaccine as it continues to diminish. So drop from 88% efficacy to 47% over 5 months. Monoclonal antibodies are saving lives. Why are they making it so hard for people to be able to get the treatment that they need? Marco Rubio has an okay take. Let's just say it was an okay take. He says antibody treatments aren't a substitute for vaccines. Okay, Marco. But they have prevented thousands of hospitalizations, including in breakthrough cases. Good, Marco. Now, in a move that reeks of partisan payback against states like Florida, the Biden regime is rationing these treatments. That is a good take, Marco. It is. Thank you for that. So, in what should be an impeachable offense, it should be presidential resignation offense. You have Biden that has things that could help Floridians save their lives. He says, no, we're going to withhold those. Just go get vaccinated. And some of the people that are suffering for their life in Florida are saying, no, we're vaccinated. We did what you told you to do. Can we have the monoclonal? And Biden says, no. Richard Nixon had to resign because he was loosely aware that one of his political tricksters sent someone in to go break into an office across the street from the Watergate Hotel. Or was it in the Watergate? I don't think it was actually in the Watergate Hotel, was it? I think it was across the street, wasn't it? It was in an office building. Anyway, and that was considered to be the greatest scandal of American politics by Woodward and Bernstein. Nobody died. Instead, you have Joe Biden that could be argued that he's acting with criminal intent, saying, you know what? Nah, you need monoclonal antibodies. What did Donald Trump do? He sent warships to blue states to help people fight the Fauci virus. Biden withholds life-saving treatment from red states. And Ron DeSantis, God bless him, is going straight to the manufacturer. Now, for those of you that don't know what monoclonal antibodies is or what Regeneron is, it is white cell blood infusion that allows your body to naturally fight the virus when you have it. I was at the Watergate office building, which I think is across from the Watergate Hotel. Is that right? Sort of. I haven't been to D.C. in a while. Watergate's a complex. So they have the Watergate Hotel and they have the Watergate office building. Is that right? Okay. This is criminal, what Joe Biden is doing in Florida. Ron DeSantis is trying to save lives of his constituents. Is there a cover up here? Every Republican in Congress should be talking about monoclonal antibodies today. Every single Republican. And all they keep on saying is go get vaccinated. Go get vaccinated. Okay, people did that in Florida, and half of the people getting monoclonal are vaccinated. You just abandoned them, Biden? Is that what you're doing? Is the Biden regime position is go get vaccinated, then you're on your own? We all see what's going on here. And meanwhile, Americans don't like vaccine mandates. A poll by Quinnipiac. I did it. That is a hard word to say, Quinnipiac. has found that almost half of Americans, 48%, believe that Joe Biden's vaccine mandates have gone too far. 51% of Americans disapprove of President Biden's plan to mandate the Chinese coronavirus vaccine for millions of Americans. No conversation about monoclonal antibodies on television. There are people right now in Florida that have the Chinese coronavirus that will die within a week if Biden does not intervene. But Biden doesn't care about that. He abandoned Americans in Kabul. 13 Marines were dead because of him, and he droned a random shopkeeper in rural Afghanistan. He has a total disregard for human life. Look, the real estate market is really hot right now. People are taking advantage of the low interest rates and the economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you're a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key to getting the property you want is being pre-qualified and having the cash in hand. That's why you need to contact Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at andrewandtodd.com. I know these guys. They're Christian. They're conservative. They're terrific. So maybe you want to buy a home. Well, they are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage, and my producer, Andrew, is working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and are really helping him. Stop using these woke brokers, everybody. Andrew and Todd are mortgage bankers, not brokers. That means Andrew and Todd and their team can take care of your loan personally from start to finish. You will actually like talking to them. Just call them and ask for Andrew and Todd. So maybe you're a millennial, you just got married, and you need to do a loan. I'm telling you, these guys are good. They're not these wokesters. I mean, if you use one of the big banks, the money goes to BLM. Andrew and Todd, they support the Charlie Kirk Show. If you got to do a loan, go through Andrew and Todd. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call and ask for Andrew and Todd. They will pick up the phone. Call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Andrew and Todd are with you every step of the way. All the big banks, they are scams compared to what Andrew and Todd are able to do, and they love their country. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. Say that you got it from the Charlie Kirk Show. They're friends of mine, good people. andrewandtodd.com. People are saying, Charlie, I saw a clip of Sarah Silverman asking whether or not we should separate as a nation. What are your thoughts? I do have some very, let's say, clear thoughts on Sarah Silverman in general. Okay, Sarah Silverman basically calls for a divorce, a national divorce. We have said on this program for quite some time that unfortunately, the way things are headed, we are heading for a national divorce if we are not able to unify our forces. And now Sarah Silverman, who's supposed to be a comedian, I've really never heard her say anything funny, has this to say. Play tape.
You know, so like, why don't we just finally just realize that these states aren't working and like divide up into like two or three countries of like USA one and USA two, and we'll be allies and you'll come over here and we'll go over there. And, you know, when you come to certain, many times when you go to a different country, you have to get a vaccine.
Now, she's coming under a lot of backlash for what she said, but it's not entirely dumb. Because that's actually where people are headed, because we actually are living in that country right now. When I go to Los Angeles, when I go to San Francisco, it's a completely different experience than living in Arizona. I don't want it to be that way. I'd love to see unification and people coming together. But basically what she's saying is, look, I don't want to live with people like Charlie Kirk or conservatives. Just kick them out of the country. We'll have our own way to do things. We'll just kind of figure it out ourselves. Now, she's come under a lot of backlash for this take. I'm not going to participate in that. I'm going to say it's tragic that it's getting to this, because we've predicted this, that we've been saying for quite some time that we are headed for this collision course and that we're already living through a slow motion secession. And that this kind of slow motion secession that's happening on American Airlines every single day of people leaving one state to the other because it feels as if you're living in a different country, is going to be put in straight focus with these vaccine mandates, with the federal, with nationalizing the tyranny. But Sarah Silverman says something that we've been warning against, that a lot of people are saying. Someone said to me, said, Charlie, what do I have in common with my fellow countrymen in Washington, D.C. or New York or Seattle or Portland. I don't even speak the same language. We view history differently. Besides unified currency, what do we have in common? And I don't have a great response to that. I don't. I want to say that we're all believing in the same American idea, but if you look at people in Portland or Seattle, that's not necessarily the case. Now, the percentages, we don't know. We don't know if it's 1%, 2%, 10%, 20%, 30%. But now when Sarah Silverman becomes a vocal secessionist, we should just say, time out. What's going on here? What are we headed for? Is this something we're prepared for? Do we want this? Do we want to sever into 3, 4, 5, 10, 12 different countries? Or is it inevitable? And that's the other question, because here's the honest take. And I'm not happy about any of this for any of the Media Matters people that are watching. I'm not cheering this on at all. If Biden and his regime keep on governing the way they're governing, what Sarah Silverman is advocating for is going to happen in the next 10 years. It's already happening. People do not want to live with liberals if they are conservative, and liberals do not want to live with conservatives. They say, why don't we just separate? We'll figure it out ourselves. I don't want that to happen. I want a strong union. I want to stay together. But now when you have outspoken liberal podcasting comedians that are saying this, then you know that there's work to be done. That's for sure. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you could do so at tpusa.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.